Childcare facilities in one of the country's most deprived areas are warning that they will either have to stop accepting children from poorer households or close their doors altogether unless they get additional funding. Our Lady's Nursery in Ballymun, also known as Our Nursery, and the nearby Poppentry Early Education Centre say financial pressure is putting their services at risk. Many of the parents whose children attend these centres cannot afford to pay for childcare, and a large number of the children at these centres are referred there by TUSLA or by public health teams. I visited the centres earlier this week to find out more. The children at Our Lady's Nursery in Ballymun in Dublin enjoying a morning of music and dance. There are 100 children here, and the waiting list is so long that they could fill another nursery of the same size if they had the resources. But this is one of the most deprived areas of the country. Many of the children coming here are from poorer households. Some come from homes with social problems, including addiction. The manager is Bernie Kelly.
We'd have very few parents that are working. Most of our parents would be parents of that would, as I said, that children were referred to us through TUSLA and the HSE, through different things that's going on in their lives. We'd have a lot of children that saw a lot of trauma, that's experiencing trauma in their homes, there's addiction problems, homelessness. You know, so we've a wide variety of children.
And for these children, the time they have at the nursery is a refuge. They're cared for. Those who need it receive therapy like speech and language therapy, and those with behavioural problems receive professional help. The parents who need it are also given food to take home.
Well, we would see children coming in hungry or haven't had breakfast. We would see children coming in that, probably are looking forward to their breakfast when they come in, but we would provide all that. So once the child is in with us every day, we'd give them a nutritious meal, we give them their breakfast, lunch, snacks, we send home food parcels to the families as well, and we see each week we'll text the parents to see who needs parcels. And I suppose since COVID or before COVID, that number has gone up every week. So at the moment now, all our parents receive food parcels, and some of our parents will come to us in the middle of the week and say, is there anything there that we've no food and we're not being paid till the end of the week?
For parents too, the services provided here are a lifeline. Lorraine is a mother of five. She works during the day while her son is in the nursery, and she's grateful for the food parcels provided to her.
I do get it often, and I tell you, that helps enormous. Good. Enormous. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
What kind of food do you get here then? You get a food parcel from them, do you?
Yeah, we get rice, pasta, tea bags. You get your tins of food, beans, spaghetti.
And do you find it hard? Like, I mean, you're a mother of five. Mm. Do you find it hard just putting food on the table for them all?
Yeah. Very hard. I find it very hard. Like, just, I'm at having times where I'd be like, why am I even going to work? I'd probably be better off home, but I'm not. I'm not actually better at home. I actually don't know how girls that don't work or people that don't work manage. Mm. Like, I'm struggling as it is, and I don't know how to do.
Another parent, Sonia, tells me of her concerns for the future of this facility.
So I'm a mother of four special needs children. So it's constant appointments, constant meetings, constant inpatient appointments and all. I have a little boy that has severe behavioural problems. So, like, if I didn't have this service, I'd be locked into my own home. A lot of mothers are struggling and trying to walk, trying to juggle the load. And it's not only the mothers, it's the staff in here that put in, like, the hours, their time. Like, it's other special needs kids in here. Like, they're underfunded, they're underwaged, and it's severely not fair on their behalf. They're, like, how can I put it? Like, they're working for buttons.
A large number of the children in this centre are categorised as sponsor referrals. This means they're vulnerable children whose parents can't pay fees, but who need the care. They're referred here by TUSLA, and the places are sponsored.
But the money the nursery receives from these children doesn't cover their costs. As a result, Bernie Kelly tells me that there will be a funding shortfall of €200,000 here by the end of this year.
It means we probably can't keep our doors open. Like, we probably have enough money to tide us over till Christmas, maybe a little bit after Christmas, and after that, I don't know. We have to make drastic decisions. Do we take parents that can afford to pay and not take the most vulnerable, which I don't think our board ever wants to even think about that. That's not why we opened the doors. It was always to work with the children that were referred to us.
There are three other services in Ballymun in the same position as our nursery. One of them is Poppentry Early Education Centre, where the deputy manager is Hazel O'Connor.
We don't have enough funding to run this place, and for, you know, even to, we're non-profit, so anything we do sort of make would be to pay for the staff's wages, and like even like the staff aren't paid, in my opinion, in early years enough at all, and like, you know, they're undervalued, overworked, you know, not recognised as educators. But that's besides that. I think for, you know, even for materials, for what for across for the whole centre now, what we're talking about, there's cutbacks here, there and everywhere, because we can't, we're not getting enough funding, and we can't afford to like give what these children deserve and what the staff deserve.
Back at our nursery in Ballymun, parents like Amanda are concerned for the future and worried for themselves and their children if the nursery is forced to close its doors due to lack of funding.
Oh, we'd be lost, yeah. I'd have to give up the few hours that I do. So I'd be back to square one. I'd be losing a job, he'd be losing a school place, and yeah, put you into depression then at that stage, and that's another factor then.
That was Amanda speaking to me at our nursery in Ballymun during the week, and we asked the Department of Children and Youth Affairs about the situation in Ballymun. They told us that for any service experiencing financial challenges, support is available through a case management process. They said the department oversees this process, through which the local city and county childcare committees and PUBL work together to assess early learning and childcare services experiencing difficulties and provide support as necessary. Well, we're joined in studio now by Tanya Ward, who's Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme. The government published a plan earlier this year to end child poverty. And part of that plan involves a broadening of access to early education. What does it say about that plan when you hear about nurseries in Ballymun facing the challenges that we've just heard there and the prospect of turning away poorer children?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a disconnect because the government and Leo Radker, when he became Taoiseach again, he set down ending child poverty as one of his the key commitments for the government, you know, out of three. And he set up a unit in his department with six officials and who've been working hard, as you say, to develop this plan. And, you know, why I feel there's a big disconnect is if you look at all the evidence, there's shelves of evidence about the importance of this type of programme, an early years programme working with very vulnerable children that mightn't get fed at the end of the day when they're home because their parents are struggling to put food on the table, or maybe their parents have addiction issues, or maybe, as one of the people in your interviews, have other children with additional needs, and that's a harder job to do. The shells of evidence about the impact that it has. So, you know, these children, if they have these programmes, they're less likely to drop out of school, they're more likely to get a good paying job, they're more likely to live in better housing. They're more likely to be less likely to have obesity issues in later life.
So but, what should be happening then with early years education?
Well, it's government policy to introduce a DESH-type programme in early years. It's actually in their national 10-year strategy for early years. And they've even done consultations and developed proposals in this area. But what they haven't done is funded and implemented this programme. And that's why you're hearing from these services in Ballymun working in one of the most disadvantaged parts of the country, saying that what they're getting isn't sufficient to provide the care for these children. Like, they, what they need is a lower staff child ratio. They need to have the space and time to go and work with the parents, because if you work with parents on what's important for small children, it actually they're able to do a better job as parents.
And in the short term then, do the childcare facilities, like what the ones we heard about in the Ballymun area there, I mean, do they have a special case for additional funds, considering that they are helping those children from families where there is severe deprivation and the greatest need?
Absolutely. I mean, if we have a situation in Ballymun where the childcare services are actually turning away children who are very disadvantaged, the impact that that's going to have on those children. I mean, the department actually has a research study looking at 9-year-olds, and what they found was if you live through this type of poverty under the age of 6, you're more likely to have a poor view of yourself. You're more likely to have low self-esteem. I mean, the cost to these children and these communities if these services aren't able to work with these children, you'll see it for many years to come.
When it comes to resources then, we know the government is examining the possibility of additional child benefit payments in the budget, and also the possibility of a targeted means tested child benefit for poorer families. What's your own view on those ideas?
Child benefit is not the way to get to these types of families in these areas. It's very costly to increase it for the whole country, and it means that people on very high incomes do very well out of it, but people on the lowest incomes, they don't get enough to feed their children. I mean, these are families who are probably eating toast 3 times a week at dinner time to get through the end of the week. You know, an increase in child benefit in June or Christmas isn't going to make much of a difference to them. And actually, the second payment, the government won't be in a position to implement that this year. It would take years to implement it because it's a means tested payment. They take years to test out and systems to build. So what they should be doing, and I have to say, looking at the papers today, I was kind of worried because, you know, I don't see lots of kite flying that's really aimed at dealing with child poverty. Like the Minister Foley is talking about introducing free school books at second level. That's absolutely a child poverty measure, but there's nothing much more than that. But to think that we could have a situation where services in Ballymun could be closing or turning some of these children away. And if we want to end child poverty, this is the one measure that produces better results than anything else that the government could do.
Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, thank you for talking to us today.